The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
About that, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Right now, I'm going to keep my co-host, Bishop Kevin Akins, in prayer. Right now, emergency popped up and he can't make it. Momentarily waiting for my guest to come on, Ty Keem, as we talk about how to undo the trend of young black men voting for Donald Trump. If you could bear with me just a second, I have my guest calling in and everything. Yeah, if you could just bear with me just a second.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
There's a place where veteran stories, the fabric of our nation's past, serve the future. Now your experiences can be an invaluable resource, a treasure piece of an ever-growing collection. Share your memories with us at the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where the experiences of U.S. military veterans are preserved. You'll help inform the next generation of students, scholars, researchers, and veterans too. To submit your stories, photographs, and other military documents, visit loc.gov/vets today.
All right, we're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. What's going on, Pastor Johnson? How you doing? I know you have some computer issues. Thank God for your cell phone. I'm waiting for the guest to come on, but if the guest doesn't make it, we still going to rock and roll because this is what we do at Conversation Unplugged. All right. How you doing, Pastor Johnson? You're on mute, man. He's working it out. Definitely want to pay tribute to John Amos, who transitioned on. Also want to pay tribute to Sissy Houston, the mother of Whitney Houston, who has transitioned on. And we've just losing a lot of folks, you know, today. That's why it's always just a blessing just to appreciate the life that you have. So let's just rock and roll, man. Hey, as Johnson is our guest is on, I got a text message, right? I got a text message two weeks ago. And it was from a colleague, and there were some organizers that was descending in Philadelphia, came to a beauty supply shop. And the organizer was organizing folks to vote for Kamala Harris. Let me just be very candid with you. And so as they were organizing to work for Kamala Harris, I was told that the organizers were shocked by some of the young black men response to voting for Kamala Harris. And I was told the following, I'm just going off of memory. They said that they were voting for Donald Trump. And their reasoning for voting for Donald Trump was the following. Now, this is crazy because the reasoning is going to offend some people. This is number one, they're voting for Donald Trump because Kamala Harris is married to a white man, which I find ludicrous. Number two, they said that she's too bougie. And number three, they said that they're not voting for Kamala because she don't relate to us. Now, I've had some barbershop talks with some people, some black men that's voting for Donald Trump. Their reasoning, I don't agree with, but I respect, because at least they're focusing on policy issues and things like that, or maybe some ideologies and things like that, et cetera. Had some conversations with some men in the barbershop. I disagree with their positions, but I respect their stance. But I don't respect nobody's stance when they come up with crazy stuff because of who someone is married to, which is crazy. She's too bougie. You don't even know her to even make a statement like that. She can't relate to us. All of those particular narratives was granted. Not granted, but all those particular narratives was stated. And so I asked my son, I called him up, who's working on his master's degree in Louisiana. And I was like, yo, man, what's going on with your generation, et cetera? Help me out. Educate me. And that brings us to our guest today. And my son says, one, I'm politically disengaged. I'm voting, but I don't get caught up into the nonsense and everything. He says, but a lot of people in my generation, they're getting their information off of TikTok and social media. And so the information is false and fabricated, but they take that information as true. All that being said, I want to introduce our guest today, Terrence Takeem. He had gotten in contact with me. He has a commercial or video that he's trying to promote to, how can you say, reverse the trend of young black men voting for Donald Trump. And just a quick sidebar, Terrence Takeem. Johnson, what's your team's record right now?
5-0.
Okay, we kicking you off, man. He's a man. I understand you from Philadelphia. You're a Minnesota Vikings fan. We have this battle all the time. Don't ask me what's my team's record. I'm gonna tell him to take you off the air. All right. Hey, Terrence, tell us a little bit about yourself. We're getting the heart of the subject today.
Well, I've been doing these films for the past like eight to 10 years. I did the film Jason's Letter, starring Vivica Fox and the big guy, Quentin Aaron from The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock. It's been on every platform, Starz, Showtime, Hulu, Prime, The Griot, USA Network, Bravo. It's been on a bunch of networks. I also did the film When George Got Murdered, which took you inside the prisons the night that Derek Chauvin, the one who killed George Floyd, who went into the system. That's starring Montel Williams and Benny Siegel and Donnie Most. Donnie Most played Ralph Mouth on Happy Days for all those years. And my new film, Abused, starring Stephen Baldwin, James Russo, Angie Stone, Claudia Jordan. It's a huge cast. And that'll be on Netflix sometime in February. But like, I'm always doing social justice projects or projects that address the issues of the abuse of women and children. Those are the main topics that I'm really more passionate about. I'm doing some other stuff now, more mainstream stuff, you know, in terms of doing projects that talk about music and things like that. Because I'm starting to, you know, you got to pay the bills. So you can't just do all the social justice or abuse oriented projects. But those projects are not really like, you know, like huge money makers, but they're stuff that I'm passionate about. But that's a little bit about me. You know, if you go further back, I did music. I was signed to Warner Brothers as an artist. I briefly walked on for the Falcons and made the team and tore my shoulder up. So, yeah. Football is in my DNA, so. Wow. But that's just some of the stuff. I've done a lot of stuff, bro. But as of now, I've become more politically engaged, because I haven't been over the years, I can admit it. But when we see a threat of this nature, what we're seeing right now, but we saw so many black men start to gravitate toward. Matter of fact, I didn't even know. Like I told you in the conversation, one of my friends from Pittsburgh, they were doing these polls. And they put a poll out in Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, and they did part of Philly, too. And they saw that all of these mostly black men, Hispanic men, were voting for Trump. And none of them could give any real reasons why. They were saying crazy stuff like he gave them a check for $1,200. To put it bluntly, too stupid to realize that didn't come from Trump. It came from the government, you know, and like saying crazy stuff like that. And the crazy part about it is that he wasn't even going to get the checks out unless they let him put his name on the checks. That was the crazy part about it. But just to give you a little bit about how I got involved in this political event I'm doing right now.
So from your research, I know you have an infomercial that you are got some funding for. You're trying to get funding through the DNC to promote, to reverse this trend. How is this trend gaining steam with young black men voting for Donald Trump? Is crazy to me, it's crazy to others, but not crazy to one generation. How is this wind behind this sail starting to generate, or why is it generating?
Well, what happened was, you have a lot of young black men who felt like they were being, you know, disengaged from the process, and were pushed out of the process. And they, you know, for whatever reason, they followed these rappers. There was a bunch of rappers mm-hmm. who Donald Trump had helped out and stuff like that. So, like, these young rappers saw that he had, you know, helped some guys get, you know, out of jail, and when he commuted a bunch of people's sentence when he left office. So they saw that kind of stuff, and they were really listening to a lot of the records from back in the day where rappers used to talk about this guy in their songs before they, but if you notice, the rappers who used to talk about these guys, about him in their songs, don't do that anymore. Matter of fact, those songs that had him in it, when they perform them live, they don't even mention his name no more, because they didn't know back then that this guy was a Nazi racist. Like, mm-hmm. they didn't really know that. So, but the younger generation, for whatever reason, man, they're seeing these younger rappers gravitate towards this guy, and it's giving these guys permission to do that. But they come up with some of the craziest reasons why they're willing to ignore all the other stuff that he says and does, just because they feel like, okay, there's some local rappers and national rappers who have gravitated towards this guy, so that gives them permission to kind of do it as well. So that's kind of what's been going on. But also, you have. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. So with the young rappers that are endorsing Trump, you know, you're in the music industry, me being a political activist, a pastor, social justice and political activist, Pastor Johnson, definitely social justice, political activist and everything. In the world that I walk in, and I'm not saying this is the case, so I'm not trying to put it out there, say something that's propagandish. I know that's not a word, but maybe Google will make it a word 20 years from now. But with some of these rappers that are endorsing Trump, right, is it genuine or is it a paid endorsement? Because sometimes in politics, you can pay someone to be the front person. They don't believe in the person. They don't believe in the candidate. They just believe in getting a dollar. So with some of these rappers, do they really believe in Donald Trump? Or is it an undercover paid endorsement to put them in the front, knowing that you gave money in their pocket just to get young African-American men to vote for him?
Well, one thing I must say, a lot of these guys are getting paid. Mm-hmm. But what they've done is that the ones who have gotten paid have convinced people who are not getting paid mm-hmm. to support this. That's what has happened.
Yeah.
And because what they did, they went on their social media pages and all of their pages, and they talked about this guy. Like we know Waka Flocka's getting paid. Everybody know that Waka Flocka's getting paid. You know, so a matter of fact, his people behind the scenes have not said it, but his people have said it in so many words. But we know that Waka Flocka get paid. Same thing with what's his name? Kodak Black. These guys are getting paid by the Trump organization and Trump campaign. They, you know, like these guys, they can try to lie all they want. We know they're getting paid. But what they've done is them, along with a bunch of them, they've given these guys permission. So they've even Lil Wayne even did this private thing for Trump years ago. Really, I think like 3-4 years ago. When he was in office, I think he was in right. office at the time. So we know Wayne is probably getting paid as well. So, you know, but what these guys have done, they've given these other everyday black men and Hispanic men, and even in some cases, a few women. Most women are not falling for it, but you have a few that are. But what those guys have done, they've given these people permission to ignore all the hatred, all the racism, all the bigotry, all mm-hmm. the violence that this guy preaches. I mean, they've given you permission to really just ignore it, and they've given all these people permission. That's why you see the numbers starting to skew in that direction. But the reason why we did this ad, you saw it, right?
Yes, I did.
This ad is strictly geared, and you know this because you've seen it. It's strictly geared towards, you know, showing black men the effects that, you know, it could have on you, your family, and the people around you. This ad is specifically geared towards those people. Mm-hmm. And it's going to gravitate towards women as well, because of how women feel about their children. But we had to use the children in this ad to kind of give these guys a glimpse at the danger that you could be possibly be partaking in by supporting this kind of situation, this kind of campaign from a person who has made it clear that he cares nothing about the people.
Wow. Johnson, you want to chime in, man? And to the producer, we're going to bypass our 15-minute station break. We'll do it at 30 minutes to the hour. Hey, Johnson.
I had a conversation with my son And we do mail-in ballots. And he basically dropped some knowledge on me that was disturbing yet real. Mm-hmm. The traditional way of us being cattle shooted into the Democratic Party is over.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're a Democrat doesn't mean that you work for me. And no one is addressing, and he's 22. No one is there to address the issues that affect him in this current cycle.
Right.
Kamala Harris, she said he's voting for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't vote for Donald Trump because Donald Trump is not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But he says Harris isn't that genuine either. And I'm talking to him and I'm talking to his friends, and they're saying the reason why their generation is disengaged is because no one is engaging them and talking to them what matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
In this current election. And people will gravitate to what they feel is going to be most advantageous to their situation. He does not get his information from TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
He does talk about issues. He does talk about other things, but he says he's not feeling it.
Wow. This problem has been a problem. So I worked on a campaign 4 years ago, and I was like old war story and everything. But I remember the gentleman that was in head of Black Male Engagement, and I remember him saying to us at a staff meeting that young Black men in Philadelphia were going to vote for Trump. This was 4 years ago. And I was irate and I was angry. And I was like, I says, why these young Black men vote for Trump? I said, do they know what's at risk here? And I start running down, et cetera, et cetera. And I never forget, he yelled back. And it wasn't like we were visceral to each other. It was an educational moment. And he says, Rev, the reason why they voting for him, because nobody's reaching out to him.
Exactly.
He says, nobody's reaching out to him. And this was a problem 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the history here, Central Park Five, we call it, now we call them the exonerated five. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Central Park Five, exonerated five. Wrongly put in jail, four African-Americans, one Latino. Donald Trump took out a $100,000 ad asking for the death penalty. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And when I hear someone say she can't relate to us, you think this dude relate to you?
That's the part that's crazy. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
You just said something that accentuates my son's point.
Yeah.
They know nothing about the Central Park Five.
Mm-hmm.
That's before they were born.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about stuff that skips a generation. We're talking about things about Donald Trump that they can't relate to. But what they can relate to is a justice system that is unjust, and looking at Kamala Harris and saying, "Listen, she was a prosecutor who helped to, if you will, continue the situation unjust in our community." And so we got to find a way to bridge the gap. And it's not to me. This election is not about Donald Trump. It's about how we relate to our young people and young Black men and answer the questions and get engaged, involved in the situations, answer their questions as somebody who actually is going to come up with not a check, but comes up with real answers for our community. Our young men are hurting, our young women are hurting, our young families are hurting. And it seems like the big D's, all they want is the V, they want the vote. And we're looking for alternatives, and we're getting the same old narratives over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Let me something just happened the other day, right? I was speaking at an event, and there was a lot of young guys there, and several of them were saying why they a couple of guys said that they were leaning Trump, they didn't really know. anything about Harris and all this whole kind of stuff, except when she was locking up people. So, and then the one, a couple of them said the same thing that he just said about, they're not reaching out to us. And this young guy that was sitting up there in the front row, he got up there and got on that mic. And he said something that really shook that room. He said, listen to me. I think he might have been only like 18 or 19 years old. He said, why I keep all these people saying stuff about they're not reaching out to us when it's up to you to do your research to find out what it is with these candidates. It's not us to them to reach out to you. They can't reach out to everybody or reach out to every community because the resources are limited. And this young boy, yo, he just gave it up. It's like, and it was so crazy. And he also said something that kind of like, I didn't really, that he kind of woke me up and then I went and checked and he was right. He said one thing about the right wing, they're really good at making people believe stuff that's not really there. So he said I was one of the ones who thought, and I was too. I was one of the ones that believed this whole narrative that she was locking up all these black people. And when you go online and look at her record, she only locked up, like, personally, like, was she prosecuted? I think it was like less than 50 people. People in her office promoted prosecuted cases against blacks, whites, Hispanics, everybody. But there was this narrative out there that she was locking up all these people. And like I said, because I, like, when she was running before, the reason why I didn't want to support her because I heard that she was locking all these people. When I went online and did my own research, none of that was true. You know what I'm saying? She only, like, personally worked on, like, less than 50 cases. But they got this thing out there that she was locking up all of these black people and all these Hispanics and people in her office there. But she, you know, you got to prosecute whatever case is brought to you. And when the guy said this, I went and checked it. I didn't even know that.
Right.
An 18, 19-year-old schooled me to that because I was still under the impression, even sitting there yesterday. Day before yesterday. You know, up to then, I had still thought that she had locked up all these people. But I still was going to support her because I would never support nobody like with all the stuff that this man is doing. Like, because we already know that if he gets in office, he's probably never going to leave because he's going to have all the people in place that he to do what he tried to do the first time. This time he's going to be successful because the Supreme Court just said about 3 months ago that he can that the president now has immunity.
Right.
So which means you got to remember he was doing this stuff before without that. Now, can you imagine what he's going to do now? So the point I was just trying to make just now was that, yeah, it took a young kid who really addressed those young kids who said they not reaching out to us and all this kind of stuff. And he said, no, it's up to you to reach out to get the information to find out the truth between the two candidates. It's not up to them. You know, it's going to affect you. He was saying us. He was saying, you know, it's going to affect us because we're younger. He said the guys, these older guys, meaning me and some of the other older guys there that's in our 40s and stuff like that. Like these guys, like they're not going to be here. Like, you know, like to get the effects of all this negativity that this guy's going to bring. But we are. And when he said that, it just shook me. But I went right after I left that and I looked it up and I saw that he was right. She only prosecuted like less than 50 cases herself. You know, and the rest of them was people in her office. It was crazy.
And at the time that she did the prosecution and let's just get rid of the time that she did the prosecution. That was the time of the crack cocaine epidemic. That was hitting, that was decimating our communities from West Coast to East Coast. And so the strong criminal justice system and prosecuting cases, she wasn't prosecuting folks just because they were black. She was prosecuting because of the whole concept of crack cocaine that was messing with, you know, the community and, you know, messing with our brothers and sisters in the community. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. Misinformation. Take a sidebar from the young black men, people don't understand history because when I'm looking at the commercials that are playing in Philadelphia, here's an example, Kamala Harris as a prosecutor, she let go such and such a person. Such a person went out and killed blah, blah, blah. And you can't trust her. You know what that ad is? That ad is Willie Horton 4K.
Willie Horton all over again.
It's Willie Horton 4K. And for those who don't understand what that means is Michael Dukakis was running against George Bush 1 in 1988.
Right,
I'm showing my age now. 1988. And it looked like Michael Dukakis was going to beat George Bush at that time, Vice President to Ronald Reagan. And then comes the August surprise. And the August surprise is they run a Willie Horton ad. And now historians, it says that was taken out of context that, let me get this right. Dukakis let out this particular person, when he was let out of prison, went and killed, raped and killed someone. I believe it was a white woman, et cetera.
The white lady.
Yeah, you can't trust him as president. And that, and then Dukakis was on a tank with an army helmet on trying to salvage that ad. And it just tanked this campaign and he lost that election. Fast forward now to 2024. This is 1988. Now it's not 2024. We see the Willie Horton ad in 4K in high definition now being the Kamala Harris without anybody checking any facts.
That's right. Yeah, and it's like they don't care about no facts, man. But I just got schooled by a kid the other day. I ain't gonna I can admit when I'm wrong, but like I did not know up until the other day that she didn't prosecute all these people. But you got to remember that propaganda machine is a monster. And that propaganda machine has got everybody thinking that she was just like grabbing black men off the street and just grabbing them out of schools and just locking them up. That propaganda has worked because, like I said, up until Tuesday, I thought the same exact thing, that she had locked up all these people. Because, like I said, like I did with the young guy, I said I didn't really do my research. And I went right online. You can see her record online. It's right there for you to see. But we just listen to whatever thrown at. We don't even pay attention. But what he said about, in terms of what the brother just said, what the young guy said was that everybody keeps saying something about they're not reaching out to us. And he said, listen, it's not their job to reach out to us. If you see that it's an election going on, it's two candidates, it's up to you to do your research to find out about these people. I mean, he said they're not going to be able to reach out to you if you really want to be involved. If you want to be involved, you got to become engaged. And when he said that, I was just like blown away that a young kid knew all this. And also the fact that he schooled me about the whole Kamala Harris thing, because I didn't even know.
I think as we get ready to go to a station break, I think moving forward, we have to understand the difference. And Johnson, we talked about this many times throughout the radio show, the difference between a moment and a movement. You follow me?
Yeah.
When President Joe Biden won, for those who celebrated his victory, it was a moment. But for those who lost, it was a movement. And the minute that they lost, they started a propaganda movement with voter reform, this, that, so on and so forth, to get to this moment. We have to start a movement, even after this election is over with, to engage those who have felt like they are disengaged. Because what Johnson is saying is absolutely correct. And I remember when he was a candidate, now he's governor, this is in a role of black clergy. We sat down, it was Pastor Collier, his wife, Reverend Dr. Maxine Collier, myself. I'll say this and then go to the station break. We sat down with Governor Shapiro. He was candidate Shapiro at that time, AG Shapiro. And I remember saying to him, listen, African-American, I said, I don't have a corner on all of the streets, but I said, word in the street is that you're trying to win this election without African-Americans. And I said, let me share something with you. This, my generation is post-civil rights. We're dedicated to the Democratic Party. My kids' generation, who are now adults, they're not dedicated to the Democratic Party. You have to reach out to them. You got to give them a reason to vote for you, because they're just not going to vote for you because you are part of the Democratic Party. And moving forward, my generation, we're going into AARP land right now. You got me. And there's another generation coming up that's younger, but they're not supportive. Now, I'm not going to say supportive, bad choice word. They're not just going to support because my grandfather, my grandmother, my mother, my father, they were supportive of the party. I'm going to support because my parents are. No, they want to know why.
And
if you don't give them a why, they either not going to come out or they're going to come to the person that's going to give them a why. Let's go to on a station break right now, 30-second on Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM. And in 30 seconds, Johnson, you got 30 seconds to take that keychain off. All right. Being a Sigma man, you can take that keychain off. All right. Let's go on a 30-second station break right now. Conversation Unplugged, WWDB.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
From Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Yo, man, you ain't take the keychain off. Anyway, my name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers with guest Terrence Tykeem and my co-host, Pastor Robert Johnson, as well as we want to keep Bishop Dr. Kevin Aiken in our prayers. He had an emergency. That's why he's not on the air with us. So, Bishop, man, you know, if you're listening, we're lifting you in prayer. Can you tell us about the info ad that was produced? What sparked, what motivated you to do the info ad? How did you collaborate to get it done? And what did you want to accomplish with it? And where do you see it going from here?
A friend of mine, I think I kind of mentioned it briefly, but to go into more detail, a friend of mine, he's out in Pittsburgh. One of the colleges, I think it's Duquesne. They had those guys go out and do these polls. They went out and did a poll, and they sent them to multiple areas this year. They always do it in Pittsburgh because Duquesne is out there. They went to Harrisburg and they came to Philly, and they did a poll. And they did a poll of the black male and Hispanic males, and even some black females. When he saw the numbers just blew him away, mm-hmm. of how many black men were talking about they were voting for Trump. But all of them gave reasons that none of them, he said maybe 95% of them gave reasons that didn't really even make no sense of why you would vote that way, which showed him that they were just like just going along with a trend, mm-hmm. That somebody had started. And we, like I spoke earlier, we know that the young hip hop artists have perpetuated that trend. So he didn't understand it, but he saw that the numbers were crazy. So he hit me up. And I think, I don't know if I sent you the email, but if not, I'm going to send you the exact email that, because I sent it out to a few people when he sent me that email. I sent that actual email out to some of the pastors and some of my friends. But in the email, he said, listen, bro, they had a think tank, plus we did a poll. He said, and it's alarming how many of these young black men are voting for Trump. And Hispanic women, he said, we polled the black women. He said, very, 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 very few of them are, but there was a few of them that were, but so they, whatever this trend is not really affecting the black women or the Hispanic. We said hardly none of the Hispanic women were voting for Trump, but there was a tiny percentage of them as well, but like both of those percentages were minuscule. Mm-hmm. But once he sent me that and I saw that, it just blew me away that the numbers were crazy, because when he said the amount of people that he was getting the feedback from that were actually talking, they were voting for Trump, just kind of It alarmed him. So he reached out to me. He said, listen, bro, he said, I have an idea for an ad. He said, I think we have to do what's considered kind of like a shame campaign. We got to mm-hmm. kind of shame some of these guys to bring them back in and show them the effects that it could have on their families and their loved ones around them.
Right.
And he said, here's my idea. Can you add on to it? So he gave me the idea and I kind of added on to it. And he said, well, listen, I know it's going to be a funding thing. He said, I can give you at least $2,000 towards it. He said, because he asked me how much it would be. I told him to produce an ad like that, I probably could get it done for around $5,000, a little less than $5,000. So he gave me $2,000 initially. He put me with another person that gave me $500. And I went out and I raised the other 20. I actually put like $1,000 myself. I got another $1,000 from another person. I got $500 from somebody else, and maybe a couple hundred from a few people here and there. So we got a little less than $5,000 we had, but we got it done. That's how we got the ad done. Once we got it done, he's tied in with these two companies that do what's called strategic placement, where they pick a group of people and they can make sure they strategically place it into their algorithm. So we know we're trying to strategically place these ads on these black males' pages, social media pages, TV programming and things like that. So we've been trying to raise funds for the past week or so we can spend this last 3 to 4 weeks really like bombarding these people with these ads on their social media. So what I did, I reached out to people like Daryl Shuler, Ike, Willie Will, Jay Black, and they have a huge following. All of them have agreed to post their ads because they know that mostly black men watch their pages. have agreed to put the ad up. The rest of what we're going to do is raise funds so we can strategically place those with that company who can, I'm sorry, place them with that company who can strategically place it on these minority males pages, which is mostly Black and Hispanic males. So that's how it came about. And that's what we're looking to do. So we've reached out to several churches. A couple churches have given us donations. We're not nowhere near where we need to be. But whatever we get, we're going to, like I said, we put money out of our own pocket. So whatever money we get now, of course, we're going to put it into trying to place this ad in the places where it could be more effective, which is those minority males that we think we can. With this ad, we feel we can pull a bunch of them back. Because what we did a mock screening for it. And mm-hmm. It was with people who were like, said they were leaning Trump. But when they saw the ad, they was like, wow. It has a visceral effect on you when you see the ad. If you're, right. You know, see that we purposely put these kids in there reacting the way they did. So because that kind of thing really affects people, like really subconsciously when you see something that you could possibly do that could affect people around you, mainly your kids and your wife and your loved ones and things like that.
So when you say how much do you need to raise
unlimited amount, but there's with politics, there's no amount. But at this way, we're trying to raise about 15 grand to really be able to make a pretty much of a dent. Especially now, the reason why I say only 15 is because now that I got all of these activists have agreed to post this ad, that's going to help a lot. So, but we were trying to raise about $45,000 between 35 and 45. That's what we were trying to raise. But now, right. You know, we got to be more realistic because people like a lot of people do not understand the seriousness of this. And right. We've already put our money where our mouth is. We went and got the money ourselves and put our own money just to produce the ad. So now, right. You know, now we need to call on other people, the churches and people who are in position. So we're just trying to raise about 15 grand. If we can get that 25 to 30 or even 40, then it's going to make that much of an impact. But with social media, the ads are cheaper and we can spread them more. It's not as expensive as TV, but if we can get to around that $35,000 or $40,000 mark, we want to put a couple of those ads, like the overnight ads, are really cheap on TV. They're more expensive now in the political climate because all the candidates are buying up all those slots, and those slots go up in price like crazy during the political campaign. Like normal ads that would have cost overnight ads that would have cost maybe $750 to $1,000. Now those ads, like they want $3,500 to upwards of like about $15,000 just for one overnight ad. So, right. You know, but we made a couple connects at a couple of the local stations, and we know which programming that the Black men are watching that will work with us and put it on if we can get some money to get it on TV as well. But right now, we want to go where the people are. Almost everybody is on their social media. You know, that's where you find the people. So that's why we reached out to these activists and some of the other people who we know will put it on their pages and won't charge us anything just because they know how serious the issue is. And the rest, we would have to raise enough money just to do those strategic placements. It's called tagline to do those. So that's what we're trying to do now.
So for those who are watching on Facebook, and I know Johnson wants to chime in as my guest is talking, it looked like I'm looking down like unattentive or anything like that. As he was talking, I was looking to, I had literally had to text myself the video because I want to see if I have the opportunity to show it. And okay. Let me see if I can get it up to get it on here to show it. Yes. Let me see if I can get this to play. Can I get it to play? Got any volume here? Yeah, let's listen to this.
Embracing the hate, but at what cost?
The white guy was on my side, wearing the Ku Klux Klan outfit.
Yeah, they recognize the danger.
Yeah.
Okay. That's embarrassing. I had it rolling. Just give me just a second. Yeah. That says this is powerful. You got me. Let's try this again. All right. We was rocking and rolling with it.
Embracing the hate, but at what cost?
The white guy was on my side, wearing the Ku Klux Klan outfit.
They recognize the danger.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her
wherever.
They hear the misogyny.
Yes! Look at my African-American over here.
And they understand the racism. If the children can see it, then why can't you?
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. You have another
at what cost?
That's right.
Yeah, at what cost? So I wanted just to show that, you know, to those who are watching us in the virtual space as well, because we're not just live on WWDB 860 AM. We're also on our on our Facebook page as well. Hey, Johnson, man, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
I've been sitting here and I've been wrestling with something for some time. We lament at the fact that African Americans at the last election with Hillary Clinton did not come out and vote at all. We lament at the fact that voter turnout among our African American community is down. Do we want people to go out and exercise the right to vote, but only if they vote for who we want? So there's this tension within my soul that says that do we want to have folk to vote however they want to vote? Or is it go out and vote, but only for the persons that we want them to vote for?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tension for me.
Mm-hmm.
The tension is that do we want folk to vote? We all scream about voting is you don't have a voice if you don't vote. But are we really saying we want you to vote, but only vote the way we want you to vote?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem for me. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is whether you vote for Donald Trump or whether you vote for Kamala Harris, do we want you to exercise your right? And for me, for all of African Americans, because we're not a monolith, Kamala Harris doesn't fit for every African-American to vote because we're that diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Young men, young Black men have been isolated out of the process. And when I say isolated out of the process, we don't know where to get the information. And so what pops up on our TikTok, what pops up on our is what the information we get. Now, if the information is coming up on TikTok about Donald Trump being the best thing to come along than sliced bread, then we also need to have our own TikTok campaigns to get the fair and balanced information that we want to get out of. And I'm just concerned that we may vilify folk who vote for Donald Trump who are African-American because they're not voting mainstream Democrat. And then it will cause people to be further ostracized and put out of the process of their right to vote. That's where I am. That's the tension for me. I have fraternity brothers who are Republican, who will be voting for Donald Trump. And I don't know why they fell and bumped their head somewhere. Maybe we need to take back their black and gold shield. But the key for me is they are exercising their right to vote, and they are talking to their children, and their children who are my children's age are saying, "Dad, I'm not with you. I'm here." Are we going to let people vote their conscience, or are we going to say, hey, you have to vote the way we want? So that's where I am. And so if somebody can help me with, help me with my tension.
Well, let me say this. What we did with the ad, you notice we didn't say Kamala or nothing. What we did was we just show people the danger of what this particular man is. So I mean, these people that are voting for Trump, listen, man, like if they're able to ignore all of this stuff, then that's on them. Like I said, you know, I mean, at this point, we've seen enough over these years right now. Like you know, we've seen enough over the past 8-9 years with this guy to know how dangerous this person just tried to just tried to overthrow the whole damn government. So if they still can ignore all of the stuff that we saw, because it's not even a little bit of stuff at this point. Like we got, I mean, like it would take us like 5 or 6 of these shows to be able to cover all of the stuff that's been uncovered with this guy at this point. So if they still can find their way to vote for this particular person, no matter like with all of this hatred and all of this and all this violence and stuff this guy's preaching and stuff like that, then that's on them. Like, you know, I really don't know what to say. But as far as like what you're saying in terms of like, you know, people voting, you know, their conscience and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't think these people have a conscience if you're able to ignore all of this stuff. I mean, at this point, I mean, because we're at the point right now where we've seen more than enough of this particular Donald Trump stuff to really know what this person's agenda is. So, I mean, in terms of like I don't know what I can say to help you off the ledge you say that you said, but all I can say is from like from my standpoint is if you can still vote for this person after everything you've seen, then you can't really say that you care about other people because, you know, I mean, you know, you're voting because you're part of that because in the past I voted because I used to get a lot of flack for voting for Republicans. Cause I used to vote for a lot of, cause I've been an independent for like about 22 years. Mm-hmm. But I voted for Republicans and I voted for mainly Democrats and independents. I would normally vote for mainly Democrats, but I voted for a lot of Republicans and people's like, hey, man, how you vote for these people? And blah, 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 blah. Because I looked at their message and I looked at that they had something really positive to say. They like, I could feel that they were really trying to help and get some real things accomplished. But this particular Republican Party right here, there's no way in the world I could vote for. These people are like preaching so much hatred and doing everything they can to separate us by race that it is, I've never seen anything like it before. So like, I could never vote for this particular party. Like you got Republicans who've been Republicans all their lives and they are leaving to vote.
I got that.
That should tell you everything you know that you need to know right there.
I got that. That's not my attention. My attention is we want folk to vote.
And is what?
My attention is that we want people to vote. We want voter turnout. I don't want to scare people away from voting because they feel ostracized, not voting their own conscience. And it can't be all or nothing for our community.
Yeah.
I want the same people to look at this election and figure it out for themselves, but to ostracize a group of people to say that if you vote for him, you're really not one of us.
Yeah, I think what moving forward, I think what needs to happen is right now, the attention on young Black men is coming at a point of crisis. You follow mm-hmm. me? At a point of crisis when the focus should have been day one after the election. You got me? Day one after the election. Moving forward, my prayer is, and I'm really hoping and praying, that Kamala Harris is the next president. You got me? Now, I ain't going to do no Paula, what was her name, about angels come from Ethiopia that's going to save this election. I ain't going on that type of prayer. Who was that, Johnson? What preacher was that? Something out of Florida.
She guaranteed
Donald Trump was going to win because the angel, something's coming from Ethiopia. Yeah. So they must didn't have a visa pass because he didn't win. Something must have been mad with their passports, you know, because Donald Trump didn't win. You got me? So I ain't going to go on that type of prayer. I'm praying that she wins. I'm not even going to say we got the outcome. After that election, there has to be a strategic plan from the national to the state to the local.
That's right.
That we have to begin to reach out. Because let me be real. The Republican Party, as much as we see this MAGA craziness and everything, they got people in place to reach out to a younger generation and a younger demographic to promote their craziness.
That's right.
A lot of young adults, minorities, Hispanic, African Americans, etc., because they've been targeting them for the past, 4 to 6 years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? And I think that one of the things that we need to realize too, and I hate to say this, I'm a Black preacher, I understand Black church, but the Democrats have got to understand that the traditional Black form of church is not going to work to reach young people because our young people sometimes, majority times, are not church in our traditional form.
They're not church. That's not church. They're not church. Yeah.
They're not church. Yeah. And you're coming to churches where the demographic that you need to be informed are not there.
So let me have just a slight pushback. I agree with you. when I say slight pushback, because the danger with that is there's some within our, you know, Democratic Party that don't see the Black church as important. And I don't want them to hear what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with what you're saying. They will turn around. There's some higher ups that will hear that and says, oh, we can just discount the Black church because we can't reach the young folks there. So let's just toss the Black church to the side and do another mechanism. That's not what you're saying, but that's a mindset that would develop. Oh, we don't need the Black church anymore.
What I'm saying, let me be very clear. What I'm saying is they need to have a strategy that reaches beyond traditional forms and going to meet people where they are. Barbershops, meet people where they are. Beauty parlors, meet people where they are, on TikTok, on YouTube, or wherever you got to go where folk are getting their information, and talk about substantive issues with young people who may not be in your traditional forms where you would usually campaign. Am I right? Does that make sense?
We would not have
this situation that we're having with Donald Trump if the Democratic Party did its research and understood to meet young African-Americans where they are, and to meet especially African-American men where they are and families, and answer questions substantively that would get them to understand that there's more to Kamala Harris than what you're seeing on the sound bites, the scaring folk, and have that traditional form, it'll be more informative. That's what I'm saying.
You know, out of all the things, one thing I must say that I've seen lately, and I don't know why the Harris campaign ain't using it more. I just found out recently that this has been more impactful. If I would have thought about it, if I had seen it before we did the ad a couple weeks ago, I would have probably used some of that in there as opposed to what we use, is that. Because Trump keeps saying it. He just said it again the other day. Trump has said on like two or three, maybe four separate occasions that he's going to give the police total immunity. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I've noticed that has got some of these Black people back off that ledge.
Yes.
That's the one thing I noticed. Yo, and I'm so mad that we didn't use that in those videos. I just really saw that. I didn't really know about that. But then when I saw the research, that all the Black people that are really starting to come back off the ledge are the ones that saw him say that, because they realized that the cops are doing what they're doing now. Can you just imagine if the president gave an executive an order for unbridled police immunity? No, from any kind of prosecutor, whatever they do. Can you imagine?
But Brother Taheem, here's what he said. He said that we need one day of crackdown and everything would be settled.
Yeah.
and when you're saying that, and people look at that, that brings us back to Black Lives Matter. That brings us back to George Floyd. That brings us back to Sandra Bland. That brings us back.
Yep.
And that means we don't want that. But see, that's the whole thing. Those types of things need to be filtered into our community.
It's not a political action committee ad
that comes out of his own mouth.
So let me share this with you. I wish we can go on and on, but we can't. I got 30 seconds left.
Wow,
30 seconds. We really digested a lot. Taz, man, I want to thank you for coming on Conversation Unplugged. We really raised the alarm, and I hate to end up, but this is like a good movie, right? And all of a sudden, instead of unfolding the story a little bit more, it just says the end. That's not the case in everything.
Well, let me say this. How can, please, however you use your outlet, tell people to, if they need to, hit me up on my IG or email, whatever you need to do. I need people to that can help us saturate the ad, can help us support us, can find any kind of, I don't care what it is, $10, whatever, like whatever we need to raise this funds to saturate that ad. That's my main focus right now. So whatever you can do to reach out to the people that we talked about.
Right.
We got 3 weeks and 4 days now. We got three weeks and four days now. But I want to put this ad in people's face over the next 20 something days.
Sure. Well, thank you for coming on Conversation Unplugged. We're going to get this out. We're definitely going to get this out. There's a clergy breakfast tomorrow at Blue Brook. Clergy breakfast tomorrow, Blue Brook clergy for Harris and Casey. Just found out, I'm a consultant with the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, put the breakfast together. Just found out that special guest, our guest speaker is going to be Reverend Dr. Susan Johnson Cook out of New York. It's just been confirmed that New York AG Letitia James is going to be there as well. So, hey, thank you for joining Conversation Unplugged. What a great conversation. For those that are listening, spread it on your virtual spaces. We got to get this out. We got to support Terrence Tykeem in the initiative that he's taking up so we can stop this trend of young black men supporting Donald Trump. Take care. God bless me. Heaven continue to smile upon you. And I hope, Johnson, that when we come back next week, I won't hear 6-0, but I'll hear 5-1. All right, let's go.